As we turn to remarks that Caleb makes him unique and the reason that I'm preaching on him today, let me turn to introduce you to Barzilla. He also is in Scripture, and it's a different way to get old. Maybe you know some people that are getting old this way. Maybe physical things have happened and they can't help it. But nevertheless, this was not Barzilla's problem. And this one is just an aside, but the Scripture is aware that some people simply go and sit down on the front porch. Probably you all read pickles in your paper. Always about old retired people talking back and forth. And she walks out on the porch, and he's sitting there on the porch swearing, and he's not reading, not... She said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Nothing." Well, she decided she wouldn't venture into that topic. But then it goes on to the next day. She comes back, and there he is sitting out on the porch, not reading, not... She said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Nothing." She said, "You said that yesterday." He said, "I didn't get through." Well, here's a man that didn't get through, and a lot of people look for the older people to sit around and never get through doing nothing. But there's a scriptural man that's doing this. This is way back in 2 Samuel 19, 30. You can look it up later. But Barzillai the Gileadite came down to cross the Jordan with the king to send him on his way. Now, Barzillai was a very old man, 80 years of age. Yeah, past that. He had provided for the king during his stay, and he was talking to the king. He said, "Can I go with you?" "No," he said, "I'd like to have you." But Barzillai answered the king, "How many more years will I live that I should go up to Jerusalem with the king? I'm now 80 years old. Remember that. I'm old. I can't do these things. I'm old." It's a great excuse. "Can I tell the difference between what's good and what's not?" And many... I wish I could mention the people that have come and pointed out that people have moved in with that lady in the rest home in Topeka, Kansas, not married. And they said, "What do you do? He's been an upright citizen all these years of his life, and now he's old and morals are disappearing." It's sin lasts until death. Can I tell the difference between what's good or not? Can your servant taste what he eats and drinks? Sorry, ladies, that we don't compliment you. All food tastes the same. Can I still hear the voices of men and women singing? My hearing's dropping down too, so you wouldn't want me. Why should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant will cross over the Jordan with the king for a short distance, but why should the king reward me in this way? Let your servant... Now we've gone down to the 37th verse. Let your servant return that I may die in my own town near the tomb of my father and my mother. Just return where I can sit down on the front porch and die. That's why we need to go to Caleb's occasionally and say that need not be and should not be. Let's simply go. This would be more of a telling of a story of a man. So I'm not expecting you to write down all these notes of these different things, because there's several of them. Observations from Scripture of a man who said, "I'm 85 years old. I'm past the shelf life, expected shelf life. God's shelf life's 80 years, you see. Here I am, 85. Numbers 13:22, Caleb had a different spirit. The Bible said so. None of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt in the wilderness and yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice shall see the land that I swore to their fathers, and none of those who despise me shall see it. God says, I'll tell you why they go blind, why they don't have the spirit. But Caleb wasn't like that. He saw the same thing. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he went, and I'll bring his children with him. Isn't that a blessing for God to look down and see a godly man living in his 85 and saying, watch for faithfulness in his descendants? a different spirit. Few of us here would recognize the name of Jesse Mitchell, our missionary to China. When the Japanese began to overrun China in World War II, the mission board immediately found a way to get all the missionaries out. We had a hospital, we had a church, we had a school. And they came to Jesse Mitchell and his wife and children. He said, "I'll stay here during World War II. I'll stay behind the lines as the Japanese move into World War II. I'll help the downed Americans when they shoot them out of the sky. And when they parachute down, I'll be here to translate for them, to help them." And he stayed there during World War II. He had a different spirit. Nobody told him to. Retired J.D. Edgar moved out to San Diego. He could have gotten a porch swing, but he didn't. He started a congregation. He built a fellowship hall on one end, 22 classrooms connecting it, and then room for the large sanctuary out here. This has never been built yet, but there's been a pastor there ever since. In his retirement years, instead of the porch swing, the spirit of J.D. Edgar, the spirit of J.G. McElhaney. These are retired men beyond my age. Went to Phoenix, Arizona for his health. Many people do that. But he went there for his health and to build a congregation, which he started, and it still thrives today out in Phoenix, Arizona. They had a different spirit. You can't tell a man to do something if he does not have that unique spirit of saying, "I'll do it," at age 85. Second, Caleb knew the responsibility and the source of his long life. When God gives a long life, he gives with it a responsibility. We read, "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time." That was the time when he was one of the 12 spies, went in to spy out the land and came back and said, "God helping us, we'll take it." And since you haven't had a lesson on Presbyterianism lately, the vote was put to the 12 spies. The vote was 10-2. God said, "I'm a Presbyterian. The majority rules. You'll go to the desert for 40 years. Watch out when you submit to Presbyterianism. 45 years since the time that this Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. I am today 85 years old. Who has not watched on television, different places, of these dear unregenerate people reaching into their 90s and some into their 100s? And they ask, "How is it that you live so long?" Seldom do they say this: "God let me live that long. God made me live that long." And every day you wake up, if you're one day older, God made you live another day. God's grace. Third, Caleb's reputation. It makes a difference. As you're older, often you can't go out and change that. It's what you've done with your life. For 40 years old, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, and I read now from a passage, I'm skipping around some, but more telling a story, was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, and everything that was in my heart, in his heart, was a belief that the Lord Jesus Christ, his God recognized in the God of the Old Testament, he'll give victory. I spoke what was in my heart, but my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people to melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. You know, they say the surest way to become peculiar is to remain the same. I star in that field, if you get to know me. If you'd follow me to Synod, you would know that I would have that reputation. But I remember the fellow came up to me at Synod and said, "You know, Bob, I really appreciate your comments. You're so predictable." And he said, "Standing with you is like standing in concrete." And I read concrete is all mixed up and permanently set. So that if that helps you to understand who's preaching, why, go ahead. Caleb is given a vision He requests responsibility. I'm 85 years old. I want to take on the giants of the Anakim, those places that have the Goliaths that come out and mock us. So now give me this hill country. This is Joshua 14:12. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me. I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb. Mr. 85 years old, standing there, telling me your age, that's the worst land. That's the reason that they refused to go in 40 years ago, you know. And you want to take it on at that age? He was looking for responsibility. I received this note from a man, young pastor, who and I retired, and didn't receive it from a lot of men, but I dearly appreciate this. Bob, the news of your retirement is grievous to me, but I trust the Lord will continue to use you in significant ways for the advancement of the kingdom. I would especially encourage you to mentor young pastors by residence or by visitation. I'm sure many would welcome your invitation to serve them and with them in this way. The younger men have much strength, but little experiential wisdom. Older men have much wisdom and less strength. Together, we make a very effective team. Some of you will be able to let me parachute into the book of Philemon at this point, because Paul is sitting there. And the Onesimus comes, who was a servant of Philemon. That's the book is written about the rich Philemon. And they're sitting there in jail in Rome. Onesimus grabbed the silverware or whatever, took something, stole it, and ran for the biggest city in town, pitying the country. And then he remembered Paul was somewhere in prison. He went to Paul, and Paul introduced him to Jesus Christ and said, "This is my son." But he said, Philemon, I'm going to send him back, and you welcome him just as you would me. Yes, this is Paul, the old man, and I have a prison record. Those two things ought to make you listen. Interesting. I've been in prison. I couldn't do anything now because I have a prison record. Paul had a prison record, and he didn't hide it. He said, because of this, because I'm old, there's a responsibility there. Six, God gave Caleb faithful children as promised. Surely the land in which your foot is trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord God fully. That's covenant theology. That's a promise to those of you that labor with presenting to your children the simple facts that you're saved through Jesus Christ, you trust in him. And God said, Caleb, I've seen that in your life. I've seen the priorities you passed on to your family. Still remember, a fellow was out assisting communion. He's my classmate in seminary. And as we're going back, we just had family worship, and our three kids were in early grade school. And we got in the car to drive for the nearest airplane. They had trouble landing in a pasture there where I live. But as we drove, he said, you know, I'm so thankful to be a part of your family worship today. He said, Bob, if we lose our kids, we lose the ball game. I don't say that to discourage. It was an encouragement to me to be faithful, to not let them be a trophy that is a minister's kid that does certain things, but instead is a son and daughter of sinners who need to know Christ. And he said, parents like Caleb, you're responsible for providing land for your kids. The philosophy is in 2 Corinthians 12:14. And this is a new one to some of you financial experts and to me. I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I do not seek what is yours, but for children who are responsible to save up for their parents. Not that way, but parents for their children. Recent trip to Texas, the big buses went by and pulling the little cars behind as the people returned from the south, going north again. And there, on the bumper of several, was, "I'm spending my kids' inheritance." And God said, it's responsible here to save up for their parents, but parents for their children is to save up. We're not to walk out and leave our accounts blank and say, that's where I started, that's where you can start. Think about that a little bit when you think of a reverse mortgage or other things. I'm not a financial expert. I'm just saying that he caught that and God blessed it. He learned from experience of others. It's amazing how we tend to say, I must have this experience to learn from it. But the wisest man that ever lived said, I learned to look out the window when I'm driving around. I learned to look around the congregation when I'm there. And there are people there that have been married for 60 years. People have been married for 55 years. There's some in their mid-80s and the like. And God puts it this way in Proverbs 24. This is Solomon writing, the smartest man there ever was. And he looked at the dumbest man that you can think of, and he learned. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall, it was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed. I learned a lesson from what I saw. Isn't it interesting how we determine if a man can quote the most Calvin, can quote the most great Reformed scholars, that they're the ones we can listen to when God may have a simple plowman that had to quit school in the fourth grade. And by the grace of God, 9 children walked the road of Jesus because they followed that simple plan. The last one I'll mention, though I could go on and on. Caleb practiced the truth, practiced what it was to follow Christ right through persecution. Right through peer pressure is what the teenager may call it. This is written here, only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land. They're bred for us. Their protection is removed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Then all the congregation said, stone them with stones. That's the man we're studying today. The man who stood, I'm 85 years old. I want the hard countries. I want the one we turned our backs on. And they just come away from the children of Israel, the believers, saying, let's kill them. Persecution. We don't have this radical kind of thing. But we do have to ask the question, your convictions, what's happened to them in the last 40 years? Some of you haven't lived that long yet. But I have to ask, my convictions 40 years ago, have they changed and why, if they have? I won't get into specifics here, but sometimes sin is a delight and sometimes sin is a challenge to see the men who actually wrote books on membership in our church and the reasons for the positions changing some of those positions. Persecuted, didn't make any difference. Peer pressure wasn't the issue. The Bible says this in Jeremiah 45, 49 and 55. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For thy life will I give to you for a prey in all places whithersoever thou goest. that he was able to stand before Moses and say, I'm 85 years old, and everywhere I've gone, they've been prayed, they wanted to stone me and all kinds of things, but Caleb resisted and walked on. Well, as I say, we could go ahead, and there's no real phrase or passage here, but you have to ask, do you have the Caleb spirit? Or is it, no, let somebody else do it. It's their turn. Well, your reputation, what is it? What's the reputation of our congregation here? When you get outside and ask the people down five houses away, what's going on in that church up there? What's our reputation? Will your faith grow as it did with Caleb? They say that an alligator never stops growing. All of his life he grows. May God give us men and women who are alligator Christians, grow all of their life. And can you live and can you grow with peer pressure like Caleb? Even when those that, children of Israel are the ones that said that, let's stone them. Can't stand them. Those that know better seem to be against you. How do you resemble Caleb? In conclusion, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went and his children. Let's pray. God, just teach us from kind of a walkthrough of a life, maybe an age of a life is where God chooses to teach us. Help us from missing the messages that God has. Father, if there are lives here that are at a time when they see much of the people around them not listening to their fathers, not listening to their mothers, calling them the old man, the old lady, other derogatory terms. God, help them to learn today from what the Word of God has to say. And then if they're older ones whose pattern is not righteousness, that they're actually committing the same thing that even the younger generation know is wrong, and they're building a bad reputation, God, convict us, we pray. And God, I want to thank you for my 80-some years, the blessing you give, and that Jesus Christ is new every day. And in spite of peer pressures, wherever it appears, the blessing of walking as man and wife these 58 years. God, thank you. In the name of Christ, amen.